This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. When you hydrate with Liquid IV, you're powered by HydraScience. HydraScience is Liquid IV's science-backed formula with an optimized ratio of electrolytes, vitamins, and nutrients. Experience great-tasting hydration for mental clarity, physical endurance, and overall well-being. Sip into something that up-levels every moment. Liquid IV. Tear. Pour. Live more. Visit us at liquidiv.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Get it. The Burt Show.
A little surprise yesterday. In reading our Facebook comments and about a handful of the DMs that I got yesterday, a lot of you guys took very personally me praising our producer, Rebecca, for choosing not to go on Ozempic and trying to find an alternative way to get healthy and lose weight.
I saw that coming.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. Yeah, I want to address it and I want to double down. So Rebecca came on yesterday and she was saying that she just, I mean, was it yesterday?
It was.
It was yesterday.
Was it yesterday? Day before like yesterday.
Two days ago.
Guess what? It was this week.
That's how I feel.
The week this year, for sure.
Anyway, she was really, really bummed, and she was very vulnerable on the show. She doesn't like the way she feels right now. She doesn't like the way she looks right now. Her doctor said that she's pre-diabetic, which is the thing that set me off initially, and that she should go on Ozempic, right? So how do I explain this? I usually don't talk about my feelings in this area because I sort of feel like for our radio show, it just feels a little bit weird. But I feel very strongly that our country has really become a country of prescribing drugs very, very quickly before trying alternative methods. And I think we've been trained this way also that, hey, doctors have credibility, and I'm not knocking doctors at all, but I've gone through this for most of my life up until recently. Like, this dude or this woman has gone to school for 10 years to be a doctor. If she says I should be taking this medication for this ailment, then she knows better than I do. So I would take that medication. For the longest time, that has been my attitude about things up until recently. Now I see things a little bit differently after doing a lot of homework and doing research on it. And my take now is that instead of immediately taking those drugs, which I really feel that drugs taketh and drugs giveth. Mm-hmm. Anything that you put in your body, like I'm on a cholesterol medication. I have a genetic disposition that gives me high cholesterol no matter how hard I work out and what I eat. So I have to be on it, right? I've been on it for a really, really long time. But I also have my liver and it affects my kidneys and I make sure I'm getting tested every 6 months for that. I've been pre-diabetic most of my life. If I didn't work out and I didn't watch what I was eating, I would definitely be diabetic. And I have never, ever thought about going on any kind of drugs. Pre-diabetic was the thing that got me the other day, right? Because I had never heard of that before. A doctor prescribing a drug for Ozempic, which, if you don't know the history of it, because we keep talking about it when it comes to weight loss, and you got these celebrities that are on it, and they're losing this weight, and now it's a countrywide phenomenon. Everybody wants to get on it for weight loss. That's not what it was designed for, and that's not what it's for. It's for people with diabetes or pre-diabetic, right?
Correct.
The side effect has been weight loss, which has made it such a popular drug. So when I heard pre-diabetic, I'm like, oh, come on, man. I mean, so they're going to prescribe this thing to you that has a lot of side effects, by the way. And also, if you do the homework on it, that the long-term weight loss on Ozempic is not a winning proposition. As soon as you get off that drug, your food cravings come back and you end up putting the weight back on. But the point that I was trying to make, and I don't have, some people really need Ozempic for their diabetes. They absolutely should. And it's a great drug for certain people. There are a lot of drugs that really need to be administered because your body needs it. It can't do it holistically. It can't do it naturally. So
like
I'm
my Lexapro, like my anxiety drug.
Yeah, sure. Go for it. Yeah. Right. But what I do think is that our doctors are prescribing drugs very, very quickly now. And if you follow the money trail, then you sort of understand why. We're not spending a lot of time with our doctors either. They give us these drugs and we just automatically say, okay, let's do this thing without doing any research on it at all. So I applauded Rebecca for doing the research and deciding, like, I'm not going to put this in my system. I'm going to try something that is proven healthier in the long run that doesn't have side effects. And a lot of you guys, I think, took that as a personal attack. Like I was saying, hey, if you're on Ozempic, you're a weak person because you're not taking the healthy long-term route. That is not what I was saying at all. I applaud her for doing the research and doing what she thinks is best for her in a healthier way long-term and not taking the quick Band-Aid.
Now, you have explained it better today, and I agree with what you're saying. But you said to the effect yesterday, and as soon as you said it, I knew that there was going to be a little bit of backlash, and because you applauded Rebecca for not taking the quick fix, the easy fix, for taking the easy way out. And so when you put it like that, people are going to be like, oh, so if I take Ozempic, that just means I'm lazy and I'm taking the quick fix.
Well, if you're taking Ozempic for weight loss and not diabetes, then I'm going to double down and say it's the easy way out.
That's, yes. But that's incorrect. So semaglutide is a diabetic drug, but it is also an anti-obesity weight management drug. It's prescribed for both. There are different kinds. There's Wegovy, there's Ozempic, and then there's something else. And they're all used for different things. So it is prescribed for weight management. But I agree with you on the same vein. I do think doctors are quick to prescribe medication. And I do think there's fat bias as well. And doctors will immediately look at weight as the causation of health issues, although there is a correlation, but fat people are treated differently within the medical community and the focus is on weight loss. So they would be more, some doctors would be more quick to prescribe that drug. What I loved about Rebecca is she stood back and was like, I don't think it's my body. Like, I don't think I need the drugs to help my body fight insulin resistance. And Rebecca's on the line. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but what I took away from it was that she looked at it and was like, it's not a physical issue. It's not my body misfunctioning. Mm-hmm. It's a mental issue, and that's what I got to fix. Mm-hmm. Or else, like you said, Bert, it's not going to be a long-term thing. And that's especially what I love is that she did that deep dive. So I think there are people out there who need the drugs mm-hmm. to help lose weight. It will not budge off. And then there are people who it is more like a celebrity, let me take it mm-hmm. to drop the poundage, and that is a misuse of the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, and I didn't want to yesterday. I mean, it came up, Ozempic came up, and we're talking about it now, but that's not what really my focus was. My focus is more like, just question when your doctor, just a little bit, do some of the homework on your own, because you feel like when a doctor is telling you to get on a drug and they're doing that quickly, all I'm saying is whatever drug it is, just question it before you put it in your body.
Oh, you should always, like, pharmaceutical reps take doctors. My dad is a doctor. We had reps take us out to beautiful sushi lunches, and they get kickbacks as well from certain drugs. Mm-hmm. Now, like, doctors all take an oath, first do no harm. They go into patient care because they care about healing and helping people, but that is a huge industry, and there's a lot of money to be moved through there. So, yes, always question, always go to independent sources, and I love that. Do your research. I don't think you can do enough research.
I work out in a gym with a dude that is a doctor at Emory, right? And he's been there for a while. And he has confessed to me that he feels like the system is so messed up that he would never go and see a Western doctor. He would never handle, if he got sick, the way that our system is kind of set up. And he is a doctor at Emory.
Because you got to look, there are nonprofit hospitals and there are for-profit hospitals. And for some of those for-profit hospitals, it's about the bottom line. So it's more tests you order, the more money they make, the more bottom line. And I've known doctors who have had issues too, have left practices or hospitals because they got told that their bottom line wasn't high enough and they refused to order additional unnecessary tests. So you just also got to know and trust your mm-hmm. doctor.
So it really wasn't about Ozempic as much as it was my feeling about prescribing drugs so quickly and us being so eager to take them without actually doing the research on it.
And if you had done the research and you know your body and you know your relationship with your doctor, and if it was prescribed to you and you're taking it, then that comment wasn't directed at you.
I wouldn't take it for pre-diabetes, though.
Well, I'm
if your doctor says you're pre-diabetic, you should go on Ozempic. I would question it.
Bert has a medical degree from San Diego State.
Yes,
so you
I do. I will tell you, I took a lot of things medicinally at San Diego. They weren't prescribed, but I should have some kind of PhD.
Get it? The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Zayn Malik is speaking out for the first time about his One Direction days. This is huge, huge news. I brought in fellow One Direction fan Kiara. She's one of our interns to talk about this because every One Direction fan girl knew where they were on March 25th when Zayn left the band.
It is a date to remember. It is like history. You're just like, oh God, that day. Every day the day comes around, like during the year, on Twitter goes crazy. They're like, March 25th, the worst day ever.
It's the day that will live in infamy. I remember I was on my phone. I was at cheer practice, wasn't supposed to be on Twitter, and then I saw it and I let out a shriek because I couldn't believe that my favorite band was breaking up.
My mom broke the news to me when I got home from school. She was like, I have something to tell you. I don't know how to say this, but yeah.
Do you guys have any artists like that stick out in your head for you about that? Like for me, it was when Ginger Spice left the Spice Girls. Oh, I was sitting at my best friend Lindsay and Lauren's kitchen table and we heard the news and it was like shook our world. Do you have anybody?
I didn't, but I remember when I first started dating my now ex-wife, like in the first couple of weeks of going out, calling her, setting up a date, and she was crying on the phone, like uncontrollably crying. I'm like, what's going on? Are you all right? She's like, Nirvana, Kurt Cobain died.
That's a big one.
Like, yeah.
Yes, I don't have any as far as like when like a band member left, but like when Biggie and Tupac were shot, that was big.
Mm. I felt the same way about Biggie, Pac, Michael Jackson, and Whitney Houston.
Yeah, also. Those are big ones.
Yeah, so the fact that Zayn is speaking out is a huge deal for anybody who is a fan of this band because he has not said anything about why he's left since then. And I think it's been about like 6 years. And so the big question is, why? And he's finally letting us know.
I think I'd known for a minute. There was a lot of politics going on. Certain people were doing certain things. Certain people didn't want to sign contracts. So I knew something was happening. So I just got ahead of the curve. If I'm being honest with you, I was like, I'm just going to get out of here. I think this is done. And I just seen it. And I completely selfishly wanted to be the first person to go and make my own record. If I'm being completely honest with you, I was like, I'm going to jump the gun here for the first time. I'm a passive dude, but when it comes to my music and my business, I'm serious about it and I'm competitive. So I wanted to be the first to go and do my own thing.
So Zayn went on the Call Her Daddy podcast through Spotify. And it's like so crazy to see him come back because it is such a blast from the past. Like we have not heard from this man since 2015. So 8 years ago.
Wasn't there some craziness there between him and his baby mama mother?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Go for it. Yeah, let us know.
So he actually spoke about it in the podcast and he took a road of silence when everything happened because he said he wanted to protect his daughter. And because like it's his daughter's family's also, he was like, he didn't want to put like go back and forth in the media and put any negative lights on the situation since it was like family drama that was happening between them.
Yeah. So. And it's one of the things that I think people believe that led to him and Gigi breaking up because, again, they had this child together and they were one of the more stable relationships in Hollywood. And then all of this came out and people were like, there were so many mixed reports coming out because apparently he hit Yolanda and he never said anything until he went on, again, the Call Her Daddy podcast.
I think I'd known for a minute. There was a lot of politics going on. Certain people were doing certain things. Certain people didn't want to sign contracts. So I knew...
That's the wrong clip. The other clip.
I don't have the other one.
Okay, never mind then.
Trust her.
Trust me, I sent it. But yeah, so One Direction fans are absolutely losing their mind over this because we missed our boy Zayn and we're still holding out hope that they're going to have a reunion.
This is the most we've ever heard him speak. Like, I love the entire interview because Alex Cooper, the host of Call Her Daddy, she did a fantastic job of like trying to get him to open up. Like, he was so comfortable. He spoke about a lot of things that I feel like just wouldn't have happened because normally people just stick to like the One Direction questions and she asked him a lot about like himself and like him growing up. It was, oh my God, I was in heaven.
Yeah, it's been 6 years, I think, since he'd done an interview, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah.
Now, so obviously you guys were very distraught. March 25th was a very hard day, the day that Zayn left One Direction. But were you as distraught as our sweet listener, Meredith, who called in? And this was when we broke the news March 25th.
I feel like can. I can't talk.
Deep breath.
Without Zayn, they're not even One Direction. It's not the same. Without his high notes and all, and his little accent, it's just, he's just a Bradford boy. He's just a little boy from Bradford.
So he does have impressive high notes.
I had two of my friends over yesterday. We just cried about it for hours.
He's just a little boy from Bradford.
And she's still crying, like sobbing. On the
we thought she was like making that up when she called, but no, she was 100 legit. And she stayed a listener for a very long time.
And she was an intern.
Yeah, she's an intern. Yeah.
Oh, and we also sent her to meet One Direction.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. She's like, oh, that's included in the intention.
Maybe if he had shown a little more emotion, we'd be having a different conversation.
Well, Zayn, if you're listening, I'm here. I love you. Like,
yeah, he's not.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's so
bad. 17 people were taken to the hospital at an Ed Sheeran show. I'll tell you what happened and how they're doing on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Kaylee here, our sound producer, questioning a pastor and the Lord. How dare you?
I'm really not questioning him. I just actually I really liked him. He was
liked past tense. Mm-hmm.
No, I really like him. He was a charming everybody. The Lord and the past tense. So my son has been in travel baseball. He's 10 years old for the past 2 years. Now travel baseball in and of itself is kind of a racket.
It's competitive.
It's beyond competitive. It's expensive. I think it's wearing on the kids.
Consuming for the parents to drive all over the state or states.
Or just like when there's these tournaments, and I think we did 11 tournaments. That means 11 weekends, 3 to 5 games over 2 days. I mean, MLB players don't even play like that many games.
Were you
in a
secretly
weekend
from time to time?
Oh yes, Bert.
Like hoping that your son's team would lose in the first 2 games.
Please lose so I can have an. Please lose so I can go home, get out of the sun, and have just a little smidge of my weekend back.
Been there, man.
But at the same time, I really like it. I like watching my son play. I like watching him practice. I'm at every practice, and I mean, with Travel League, you're at like 3 practices a week.
It's a large commitment.
It is a large commitment. And this, after this season ended, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to pull him out of travel ball and go back to rec for a season, because at 10 years old, it's not like people are scouting out my 10-year-old like to play in high school yet. So we had kind of decided that. But then my wife was like, well, you should still take him to some of these tryouts. And I'm like, why? If we're not doing travel ball and we're not going to spend $1,500 to $4,000, depending on what, you know.
$4,000 for a season of travel ball?
Well, it's more like a year. That would consist of like fall and spring, which, you know, with rec, you're just paying for that season.
Okay.
Like, so fall. But it's a lot. You know, all the kids have the bags that are all look the same. So, you know, they're selling the gear and all that stuff. And it's just, you know, in some of these prestigious clubs, that's what you'll pay, $4,000.
So, I just want to clarify. So $4,000 only covers the league, does not cover hotel, gas.
No.
Oh, yeah, we can do this. For those of you guys that don't know, wait for the phone lines to light up on this. Shock these guys with how much money you're spending on your kids' travel or your kids' events. It will shock you. 1-855-VIRTUAL from swimming, ice skating, softball, baseball. 1-855-BIRT Show. You won't believe the numbers.
And a lot of times, like for us, we didn't do any out-of-state travel. So when they say travel, we might go to, you know, Gainesville, which is like an hour and a half away. Or we might go. So it would be within the state. You don't have to get a hotel room.
That whole equestrian world, you won't believe the numbers.
You do go out of state.
Yeah, but that involves at least a horse. And I know those are expensive.
No, there are some. Like,
you know your money going.
There are some teams that do. They'll go to Panama City. And some of these tournaments are a week long. Mm. Can you imagine? I mean, a week long. So, yeah, I don't even know. But so my wife's like, we'll still take him to the tryouts because it's like free lessons, you know, it's like a 2-hour tryout and just see how he is comparing. But a lot of times these teams, because they groom the same kids, a lot of the time these teams have been consisted of the same kids for so long, and they're looking for 2 kids, let's say, and they're trying out 60. So unless you are extremely, like, I don't know how you even stand out in that. Hopefully you're having a good day.
At least back in the day, the tryouts weren't for instruction, though. Like, they tried you out, and they didn't really tell you what you were doing right or wrong.
Oh, no, they don't.
Yeah.
And some of these groups charge for the tryouts as well.
All right.
Yeah, like $60 a kid. And if they've got 60 kids coming through, I mean, they're making some money.
So what was the suggestion from the pastor that turned you off?
Well, this is, so the coach, second tryout I took him to, and we have played this team before in travel ball. I had never really heard from the coach. And it kind of mid-tryout, he addresses all the parents and introduces himself and, you know, thanks everyone for coming out and kind of gives the rundown on if, you know, he's very busy. He's not going to call 60 individual parents and explain why their kid is not getting on the team. He's going to send a mass email. If you're invited, you better respond yes quickly because he's not holding a spot. Don't tell him, I'll get back to you in a few days.
And I'm charging you $200 to send me back an email.
But what he did say, which was unique about this team, is that, you know, it was going to be $1,500 at the minimum, which I think for the team we were on last season, it was like $1,200. So it was on the lower ring, but it could be a little bit more. But if your child brings in a sponsor, which this was never even offered, I never even thought about it, 80% of whatever sponsor money your kid could raise would go towards that $1,500.
Okay.
And then he hit me with, is anybody here have a problem with guns? And I was like,
like firearms?
Yes. And I was like, he's like, because I love guns. And last season we did a gun raffle, which pretty much paid for every kid on the team's $1,500. And I was like, that's fantastic. Well, I was like, you're giving something the kids, people want to buy. Like, there's no problem with that. You ain't trying to sell cookies. Like, oh, I got to buy these damn cookies. Oh, you can get a rifle?
Things have really evolved.
$20, you could probably.
How much?
Paid for themselves with the gun raffle. And he's like, so I'll probably bring that back. And I was like, oh, this is controversial. So,
is there anything more American than baseball and guns?
Which, by the way, Cassie and I are very excited to have our Meet the Moms play date with Georgia Moms for Change this Saturday to discuss common sense, gun laws, and gun control and safety in our schools.
But go ahead and raffle off a gun to raise money for your kids'
baseball.
See how
I'm setting you guys up right now? It's very perfect. I just set it up and you just knock it out.
Neat.
Okay. There could be a lot more gun raffles because wait till you hear some of the prizes that people are paying in travel ball. Oni, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. All right. Shock these guys. How much did you spend last year on your kids' activity and what was it?
$9,500.
On what?
On traveling and football. We were in California. New Orleans, Florida, a couple of times, actually. Alabama. We were all over the place.
$9,500.
Is this kid an NFL prospect?
Better be.
He better be. Well, we're going to take a break after this year because mama's pockets are real low.
Yeah, no doubt. So,
how old is he?
We're taking an off year this year. He's starting middle school. And, I was shocked at myself because I didn't realize I had that amount of money. So.
Middle school? Did you say middle school?
Yeah.
Starting.
Yeah, he's starting sixth grade this year.
$9,500 for a middle schooler to play football.
For that $9,500, did he at least get a ring or a trophy
We got all the things.
I bet you did.
$9,500, just starting middle school. Good morning, Joy. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Fantastic. Thank you for calling. How much did you spend in what sport?
So this year it's going to be probably around $8,000. I have two girls and they're in competition cheer.
Ooh, that's really
cool. Wow.
So what are you paying for?
So we pay for the monthly fee for them to attend, you know, practice. Okay. And then you have the choreography fee. Then you have the hotels and the competition fees and you're paying the coaches. Like it's everything, but it's still a lot. They're only in elementary school, but
what?
Now, at least the middle school football mom could be like, okay, maybe eventually my kid makes it to the NFL. I'm going to get this money back. Professional cheerleading, I think you're kind of screwed here, Joy. You're not going to see that money back.
Do cheerleaders get scholarships?
Yes.
Yeah,
they do.
Yep.
Yep.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah, that's something we're trying for. Yeah. But we got.
And here is Chris. Good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. All right. How much are we talking about?
Look, $8,000. Burt, you know this. Travel, ECNL soccer. And my child played from the time she was 5 years old until she was 13.
Dang.
Wow. Yes. She was in high school. That's a freshman year in high school, and she says, you know what? I don't want to play in college. I'm like, what?
That's not an option.
You're yes, like, you do.
You are going to kick a ball when soccer. You go to college.
I see my kid's expenses when it comes to soccer, and he's not even an ECNL. Chelsea, last call on this. This one's going to blow you away. You guys ready?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. Go ahead, Chelsea.
Give it to me.
$22,000 my friend spent on dance.
Dance.
Your best friend. No, she didn't do it, but she's like, I'm going to tattle on my best friend and pay for that because that is ludicrous.
I really am. Yeah. I mean, between costumes and travel, like, the Nationals was $2,400 just for 3 days of dancing without even the travel expenses.
Damn, yeah. Man. $22,000 for dance.
Ooh. I'd be like, here, baby, here's a poem. I got my name. I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
True comfort can't be faked. Neither can our strawberries. Fall in love with new Häagen-Dazs New York Strawberry Cheesecake. That's Dazs. Available at retailers nationwide.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
So one of our producers, Rebecca, is very, very nervous about one of her friends and wants to see if she can get some help because she's struggling on exactly how to advise her. And today is Free Therapy Thursday, and that's when we bring in licensed therapist Miranda Campbell from Port Counseling Group. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Let's get Rebecca on because she's on a struggle bus for her friend. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, yeah, I really need some deep advice because I'm really struggling on how to help one of my closest friends in my life. So this person, I am certain at this point, is suffering from an eating disorder. They've always kind of had pretty particular eating habits, but just over the past few years, it's obvious that it's just getting worse and worse. To the point that, it's just objectively true that they're suffering from anorexia. And I'm really afraid that they're going to hurt themselves or worse and won't be able to come back from it at this point. So, I mean, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty details, but they just eat an extremely restrictive amount every day. They exercise multiple times a day, every day. And it's just really concerning to me. So I kind of confronted them about it, and I told them that I was really concerned about them, but I think I did a really bad job. because they didn't take it badly, but they're basically in complete denial.
How did you approach the conversation?
We were in a car together and we were driving and it almost just came out like word vomit. I was trying to think of a way that I could like very like gently and in like a kind way just tell her that I was concerned about her, but I was just looking at her and looking at her body and thinking about how I was so afraid for her that it just came out. I just told her, I think that you need to talk to someone. I think you need to see someone because I am afraid for your health. And she doesn't agree, basically. She's in complete denial. She wasn't upset that I brought it up, but she doesn't think that she's unhealthy. And now I don't know where to go.
Did she run the car into a pole on your side of the car? She's trying to take you out after that?
Her eyes started getting shifty. She was, on the side of the road.
So what do you do in a case like that, Miranda? I mean, you're concerned. You know it's going to be a sensitive conversation. What's the best approach?
I think that the approach you took, Rebecca, was amazing. I think this is a great opening. Oftentimes, like we've said in previous weeks, that hard conversations happen over a period of time. It's not a one and done. And watching someone you care about go through something like this is so hard because you're right, Rebecca, it's very dangerous. And so denial is surprisingly common with all eating disorders, especially anorexia. Just think about how you operate cognitively when you're hungry. Like, I don't think straight, I'm irritable, whatever. So imagine if you, for a prolonged period of time, you're not getting the essential calories and nutrients, that brain-body connection becomes very real. And it's not very commonly known that people who restrict and don't receive the appropriate calorie intake over time, they can have cognitive functioning and like delusions that mimic schizophrenia. I'm not saying that your friend has schizophrenia. It's just that it's so important to hit this hard and fast, because once you get to that point, it is really hard to think clearly and logically know. So I think you did everything right. Bring it up again and see if she would be willing to go and at least get an evaluation. So tell her, yeah, I hear you. You don't think you have anything wrong. Let's just see what an expert will say. And a lot of places will give that free evaluation and let them hear from a professional. It's important that you go to someone, not just a general therapist or a general doctor. You have to go somewhere that specializes in eating disorders and knows the signs, knows the questions to ask, and are well-versed in helping someone in this ambivalent, not really knowing phase.
Would you say, but I can see that being difficult, like trying to get a person, an analogy, like trying to get a person to go to rehab. Like, it's almost like an addiction to being thin. Mm-hmm. So if she refuses to go see a specialist and to get evaluated, is there something else?
Well, that's the key. You're not asking her to go and commit herself. You just want the eval. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And usually you can get them to at least do it for you.
Gotcha.
If they know you, they like you, they trust you, just do this. Let the professionals handle it from there, whether they commit or not. And the reality is she may not commit.
Yeah. How many times do you go in and before you're just being a pain in the ass and the friend is just going to go, leave me alone, and the friendship's done?
It varies from person to person, but you plant seeds. Mm. It's a long game because you're right. Like, you don't want to get into a power struggle, especially if she is in this space where she's not thinking clearly. It's pointless. It's like going back and forth with a toddler. Like, it's not going to be productive. But you just get her to commit to that one thing.
Because we often hear the phrase, like, you can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to help themselves. And, of course, you don't want to give up on a friend. So you walk this, like, you want them to get the help they need, but you're not going to be able to force them to do it. So is there ever a point when you have to stop and just hope that they realize this on their own? Or do you be that pestering friend?
you, and granted, the way you are, you pester can vary. It doesn't have to be obnoxious.
Yeah.
It can just be over time. Mm-hmm. Let natural consequences play out. And so, and I think you have to, being an outsider looking in, you have to adjust your expectations. Even if she does a commit and she's like, okay, fine, I'll go get this evaluation just so you can shut up. It doesn't mean that, like, and maybe she does get treatment. It doesn't mean that this is done. Like, the recidivism rate for eating disorders is just huge. It's unfortunate. It's a part of the journey. And so this is a long-term thing.
Rebecca, you think she'd be open for you? I mean, I don't know if she'll be open to it, but are you willing to go back in and say, hey, get this eval for me?
I think I could do that. One of the things I was wondering is if I can bring, like, our like, group of girls together, like, her friends, and, like, sit her down, if that would be a better idea than just me one-on-one keeping pestering her about this.
It depends. You know your friend. So do what you think she will respond best to. Give her as many, like, put her in the driver's seat in as many ways as you can, but with the bottom line of she has to go get this eval. Do you want to go,
okay.
You know, and I would suggest that she go with someone so that they know the real deal. She can't fluff her way through the eval and they're like, oh, you're fine.
Now, Abby, yeah. You were very open and honest recently about, you know, some of your previous struggles that are kind of in the same vein. Did anybody ever talk to you, or if somebody did, how would you want them to approach you?
So for me, people came at it from the completely wrong angle. They were just like, well, you look so anorexic. And it was very offensive. And because I was an athlete, I was constantly in doctor's offices anyway. So I think I went in for like a sprained ankle at one point, and they did sort of like a full physical. And they were like, hey, we noticed you're like kind of teetering on, you might be too thin, just something to be aware of. And I was like, thanks for letting me know. I'll make adjustments accordingly. And I think having an evaluation is extremely important, because like, you can't argue with a medical professional, but if it's somebody just coming at you from a critical standpoint, especially if it's somebody who's not your friend, which of course is not the case with Rebecca, you can't argue with a professional.
You know, I think Kristen asked a really good question. You said they kind of came at you aggressively. What would you have been open to?
Yeah,
I would have been open to maybe just someone saying, hey, I've kind of noticed some changes in your appearance. You know, you're growing a lot, you're young, and that's normal. I think I just wouldn't want people to ostracize me. And I think the word anorexic is a very ostracizing and critical word. I think just kind of saying, hey, just something I think you should look into. And of course, because I wanted to be healthy, that was something I was obviously open to. So just don't come at it from a critical and ostracizing standpoint.
Yeah, and leave like appearance out of it.
Yeah,
like go with the behavior. Notice that you are skipping this, or you are working out but you haven't really fueled this workout. That's more logical, and it has less to do with their appearance. Because for some people, if you say, oh, I'm noticing that you're looking thin, they think, oh, what I'm doing is working, so let me keep this behavior up.
Smart.
So,
all right, if you got questions, Miranda Campbell is a licensed therapist at Port Counseling Group. You can catch them online at portcg.com. Obviously, she knows what she's talking about. And as a bonus, your nails look great.
Oh, thank you. It's my 4th of July nail.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Kristen, you're making weird faces at me. What's going on?
Kristen's over here like doing sign language. I'm like, I only learned Spanish in high school.
Same. Yeah, I was doing so bad.
I know. I was so bad. Whatnot. No, I meant to tell you right before we came back on the air that I had something I would love to add to entertainment buzz if you have time.
Well, why don't you just hijack it since we're already
absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay, let's talk about this Ed Sheeran show real quick, and then we'll get to you, Kristen. So 17 people went to the hospital at an Ed Sheeran show in Pittsburgh.
That's a lot.
I know. So obviously in this country, your immediate thought, you're probably thinking, oh my God, gun violence. Did something happen there? Thank God it wasn't that, although this isn't necessarily good news. So a press release from Pittsburgh's Public Safety Department. It says the Pittsburgh Bureau of EMS personnel working during the Ed Sheeran concert received 37 calls for service.
Damn.
With 17 transport to the hospitals. So there were two cardiac arrests that actually weren't from concert attendees. There was a paramedic that was leaving the show, and then there was somebody else taking down the stage that had a heart attack.
Do you say a paramedic had the heart attack?
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow. I know. It's awful. Mm-hmm. I think everybody else was complications with heat stroke. It was 87 degrees in Pittsburgh. And cardiac arrest can actually occur as a complication of heat stroke, according to the American Academy of Cardiology.
Plus, you're drinking all them beers and drinking all that alcohol, dehydrating you when you're in the heat also. So I can see how it can happen.
Yeah. As somebody who lives in the South, though, 87 doesn't sound like that. I couldn't help. I mean, like, you know, hopefully everybody's okay, but I was like, I was expecting you to say something like in the upper 90s.
I know it's a bad that was my knee-jerk reaction. I was like, 87 degrees. I'm like, I'm a Florida native over here. That's nothing. Wouldn't survive in the South. But as far as everything else that I've read, it seems like everybody's okay, and it's not anything life-threatening. Hey, a Taylor Swift fan might have the next million-dollar piece of merch on their hands. So Rachel Hunter is a British Swiftie, and she made this unboxing video. She got the big Speak Now Taylor's Version vinyl. She's all excited. She wants to show people on the internet. So she puts the vinyl on the record player, and what she hears is not Taylor Swift's amazing hit song, Mine, as it should have been. It was actually an error. So the vinyl started playing a song called Happy Land, an electronic song by the group Ultramarine. And then when you flip it over, still not Taylor Swift. It was a song called Soul Vine by Cabaret Voltaire. I know Swifties are probably thinking, this must be some kind of Easter egg for 1989. Were these songs from the 80s? But yeah, if I'm her, I'm bummed.
They pressed the wrong thing and they boxed it wrong.
Oops.
It's creepy though, but I wouldn't be bummed at all. That is a super rare Taylor Swift album now because it's fully branded. Everything else on it, it's the purple album, the amethyst color, all her. It is Speak Now with the wrong stuff on it, and collectors will pay a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, some collect that could be worth $10,000.
You know, Taylor Swift and her team are probably going to show up at the door with the actual, like, another vinyl for her.
To apologize.
Here's the real one.
We're so sorry you got the wrong one. But yeah, that's why I'm going to be hoarding that cardigan for years, because I know in 10 years that thing is going to be worth something. I'm going to enjoy it now, but I will be enjoying it much more in 10 years.
So the funny thing is you know, Taylor Swift sent out, like, her PR team sent out the press boxes with the album, the cardigan. Abby and I got one, like Bert Show got one, and somebody online has decided to sell their cardigan, but it's under a fake or an anonymous name, and there are Swifty sleuths trying to figure out which one of Taylor's quote-unquote pals, because she says thanks for being a pal in the card, is betraying her and selling the cardigan. They are matching sizes. They are looking at locations.
Oh, God.
And my photo has come up in the thread as somebody who has received a cardigan, and could I be a suspect?
Come on.
Selling it.
I'm in that photo with you, so are we both on this thread?
No, it's a TikTok. They screenshotted, because I did sort of the reveal on TikTok as well, showing the cardigan. So they're compiling everyone who has received this card. Fletcher, who is an artist, Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye, like all these celeb names, and then there's like my like makeupless face is like, hello. But no, I have not sold it, and I will not sell it.
Yeah, I will gladly betray Taylor Swift in about 10 years for that money. For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
The Bird Show.
Oh, young Abby, so naive. So naive to not put the big news about Bluey. In the entertainment bus. Listen, so young and naive.
Just thought 17 people going to the hospital at an Ed Sheeran show was a little bit more important, but, you know, I stand corrected.
Well, you were wrong. You never hear 18 people going to the hospital at a Bluey concert?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
No, you don't.
Uh-uh. What happened?
Yesterday was a huge day for parents worldwide because new episodes of Bluey hit Disney Plus. Not as many as I wanted. We only got 9 new episodes, but it is what it is, and I'm going to take them. And so I went and did yoga yesterday, but as soon as I got out of yoga and I checked my phone, I had a message from my husband, and he's like, oh, S word, episode 32. We find out why Chili hasn't spoken to her sister in 4 years.
Oh, shut up.
And I responded back, no effing way. So as soon as I got home, he went to go do his thing. Jimmy woke up for his nap. We sat down on the couch and started watching through all the episodes. And we got to episode 32, where we finally figured out why Chili, Bluey's mom, hasn't spoke to Brandy, Bluey's aunt, AKA Chili's sister, for 4 years, and I may or may not have cried.
You got to get through 32 episodes to get to that? Is that what you said?
Well, no, it's episode 32. They're 8 minutes long, and that wasn't, no, season three had already aired like 30 episodes. And so we ended up getting like 31 through 39 or something.
We were supposed to get season four, which is airing in Australia, but we got just the second half of season three.
So exactly. I don't watch the show and I'm not very familiar with it. Is this the same show that has two cast members that had an affair on the third one?
No. What?
Blue's Clues?
No. This isn't like two people that were dating and they had an affair on the third one and they got in a big old fight about it.
Teletubbies? No.
Sounds more like Succession.
No, I'm talking about the reality TV show that we've been talking about for months.
Rules?
Yes.
Oh.
Went under everybody's radar.
Okay.
There is no scandal happening on Bluey, even though I do think Chili has the hots for Lucky's dad.
Do you?
Yes, 100%. She and Pat, I could totally see it in an alternate, like, if I wrote Bluey fan fiction, that would happen.
Somebody should make, like, a Bluey After Dark version where it's just, like, an adult that makes, like, the storylines that should happen.
Mm-hmm. And Judo's mom? I mean, I could see Bandit, like...
Don't you dare! Bandit
that.
Will never leave Chili ever. If Bandit leaves Chili, it's gonna be for me, okay?
There are Bluey fan fiction, stories.
Oh my God. It's deep. Like when you find out like what they do for a living, like so Bandit is an archaeologist, so he's a dog that digs for bones.
Uh-huh. Get it?
Makes sense.
Chili works at the airport. She's TSA. So, you know, she's, you know, dog security at TSA.
She's sniffing bags because she's a dog. Dude, I know this sounds weird, but like parents love this so much. Chad put it on for the kids because he was cooking last night for them and I was in the middle of doing something else so I couldn't watch them. And he goes, I'm going to have to rewind because I wasn't able to watch any of it while I was cooking.
Yeah.
He wants my husband, who used to have a green mohawk and black nail polish and play in a punk band in college, was like, I'm so pissed I missed the episodes of Bluey.
I can't begin to tell you how confusing it was because we went and saw Bluey live at the Fox Theater, right? And they had this storyline of Chili having not talked to her sister for 4 years and like at the end, she calls her sister, and Bart and I are looking at each other like, what in the, like, one, this is totally out of Chili's character. Why would she not be talking to her sister for 4 years? This makes no sense to me. But now it does make sense because Australia already had these episodes, so this play they put together made sense. We didn't get it till after, so now knowing the story and why they haven't spoken in 4 years, oh, my heart, like, I'm sitting there holding Jimmy, and I'm like,
oh my God, every episode will make you cry.
Are there any parents that we'll call up right now and confess 1-855-BIRCHO that you're watching this show without the kids.
Oh, I did yesterday.
You do. So you love it so much that you don't need your kids to watch the show.
Everyone, that is not a secret confession and it's not a shitty, like, that is fine.
Yes.
I will put that on my profile.
What happens is you'll put your kid, like, you'll be watching it and it's like, all right, say night-night to Bluey, say night-night to Bingo, and then you put him down for his nap and the show's still running and you come back down and you're sitting there and you're like six more episodes in and you're like, my child's not even in the room. What am I doing?
I literally argue with my kids. They'll be like, "What? Let's watch Blippi," and I'll say, Mama hates Blippi. We're going to watch Bluey.
It's that good.
It is.
Really?
Somebody, the way somebody described it, it is educational for kids. It is cute. It is well written. It's very well done. But it's also a love letter to parents. So certain things that the parents have to endure and go through, like you as a parent, you feel seen when you watch Bluey.
Okay. And that's why people are calling up saying, yeah, watch it alone.
Okay.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, Cassie, so are you overthinking things here? Are you just being a millennial like you like to say?
Yeah, I need a sounding board because I think as a millennial, I've been trained to overthink everything. But at the same time, I recognize within myself, it's been a long journey. I'm not great at social cues. Like, I don't know what it is. If it's, like, very superficial, I can operate. But if it's, like, a deep cut social cue, I don't know if I'm reading into things or overthinking it or I miss them completely. And what I mean by this is I've got a group text with a bunch of friends, okay? And one friend had a birthday. And so I texted, happy birthday, so-and-so. And then another person in the text was like, happy birthday, so-and-so. We're the only two people to text because the other ones were out of the country or whatever. And my friend liked the person's text who came after mine, but didn't like my text. And I just felt because there were only, if everyone had said it and it were a bunch and she only liked one, I'd be like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But because there were two and mine came in first and then the other one came in and she only liked that one, in my head, I'm like, did I do something? And I haven't talked to this friend a whole bunch lately. So we're not like super tight talking every day. And I'm wondering now if the distance is because I've done something and I didn't know. And now, like, that's showing up in the text messages. And I try very hard to live by the rule. If someone has a problem with you, they will tell you. You can't make it up. You can't worry about what other people right. think about you. Yeah. Like, they need to be an adult to step up to the plate and say something. I also know that's not how all adults function, and people like to be petty and passive aggressive. So now, if this happened to you, would you feel some kind of way? Would you take that as a passive aggressive swipe, or would you just be like, okay, they just liked one text, but not the other one?
Mo, you're notoriously the overthinker on the show, so where are you going with this?
I honestly don't think I would have thought anything of it. But now that you point it out, like if it was pointed out to me, I probably would go down the same rabbit hole you're going of. Yeah, like it was only two. Like, why'd you only like one? But I think that's probably something. I probably would have just thought that they reacted to the last one. I wouldn't have actually thought that they just purposely ignored mine.
You freaked me out so much because you and I we're in several different group texts. And I went back to our one group text, and because I remember on my birthday people, and I'm like, did I like Sarah and Amanda's happy birthday message and not Cassie?
It's not you.
No. I did. Okay. I liked it.
No, it's a totally different group. You don't know any of these friends. Trust me. I would not come on and talk about you. I would say Kristen didn't like my text.
I would get in my head about it, too. I wish I wouldn't, but I would totally get in my head about it.
But I sound psycho if I say
anything.
Yeah,
you do. No, you do. Mm-hmm.
If I'm like, hey, why did you like so-and-so's birthday text but not mine? I sound absolutely psychotic.
Right.
But I guarantee you there are women listening in their cars. If you think about your friend group and this happened, you would feel like it was a message being sent. I feel like a message is being sent.
I would absolutely take it as a passive-aggressive swipe, but you also have to look at the rest of the context of your friendship. Like, is this like an isolated incident? You know what I mean? Like, has she done it? Is she, like, doing the slow ghost? Is she giving you, like, side eye in public, or is it just this one-off thing?
She can be mercurial. She can be on and off, we'll say. Sometimes she feels slighted by things, and she can get offended really easily and tense to, like, dramatize situations. But at the same time, she's very even-keeled and logical once she, like, sees the facts. So, but she's not confrontational. So that's why I'm like, I don't know if I've done something at some point that annoyed her and pissed her off, and she's just been sitting with this seed of annoyance at me. And then I'm like, Cassie, this is a typical overthinking. You are stressing out about absolutely nothing. Nothing happened. And then I'm like, but there are signs she's had it.
So here's the thing. So I would be in the same headspace as you. So I don't think like you're crazy. I do think it's not going to look good on you if you bring up like, why didn't you like my happy birthday message I sent to you? But here's the thing. If she does have an issue with you and she hasn't brought it up.
Hey, whoopsie.
What did I say?
You put your words together and made it sound like poopy. But the bad word for poopy.
If she does have an issue with you, that is hers to bring up. If she hasn't, that's not on you. That's on her. So yeah. I wouldn't work myself up about trying to figure it out because that onus is on her. You can't fix a problem unless you know there's a problem. So if somebody has an issue with you, I feel it's important for them to bring that to you, not for you to have to draw it out of them.
Text messages were supposed to simplify everything, and I still don't know all the rules. Like, we were doing a texting tutor a couple of weeks ago, and there was a thumbs up, which I really legitimately thought meant like, cool, which turns out that it's not. A lot of cases is passive aggressive.
For sure.
Do I use an exclamation point? Do I not? Do I use a comma? That means something else now?
Yes. If you use a thumbs up, you are essentially giving that person the middle finger.
But not if you double tap and like it.
Yes, that's different.
That's different. It is complicated. It is confusing. And now I have to spend mental energy compartmentalizing. Because I want to, if I messed up, I'll apologize. I want to fix it. But if I didn't mess up, I would like you to stop being passive aggressive and like my damn text.
This is why I don't have friends.
This is why I'm getting less friends right here. This is part of the reason. It's The Bird Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bird Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bird Show.